Hi, Rachel. Welcome to Marketing Happy Hour. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, doing well. We're so stoked to have you here. And you are coming live, well, live now as we're recording, but from the West Palm Beach area. So you're not terribly far from us on a little adventure, which we'll get into here in a little bit. But we have to ask you in true Marketing Happy Hour fashion, what are you sipping on this morning, or what do you enjoy drinking on a regular basis?
Well, since it is the morning, I'm just drinking water, but I am looking forward to having a gimlet later. I think I'm gonna go find like a bar with a nice view and think
Yes.
about marketing.
Yes, I love it so much. And honestly, there are no shortage of those bars with nice views down in West Palm. So I'm sure you will find one very quickly. But like Cassie said, we're super excited to have you today. And we want to just chat through some of the fun activations that Andie Swim has in store across the country this summer. But first, could you just share a little bit of the Andie Swim story and kind of a look into your career path thus far and then what you're working on now with the brand?
Yeah, of course. So I guess I'll start with my career, which has been a linear. I got out of college. I have a degree in music and theology, so it's not exactly relevant, but that's a story for a different time, I'm sure, probably a different podcast. And I just started working in hospitality. I started working for Hyatt, and I was there for about 6 years, and I did kind of all manner of things. I worked for four different properties, moved around, and I mean, at the time, all I wanted to do was like play Ultimate Frisbee. So that was like what I was doing with my life. And then, so at one point, I was living in Rhode Island, and I don't know if you're familiar with this program called Venture for America, but the idea is Teach for America, but for startups. It's actually a program that Andrew Yang set up. And I mean, basically, it was dating someone who was one of these VFA fellows. And it just kind of like made me catch the startup bug. And I was just like, wow, this is like kind of really great. I worked in my first like startup. So it was in Newport, Rhode Island. So it was kind of like a beach town. It was a health and wellness company that did like cash-based physical therapy, personal training, massage therapy, things like that. And then at one point, I was home for Thanksgiving, and my cousin and her wife were there. And they were like, hey, we're starting this company, the Swim and Swimwear brand. Like, what do you think? Do you want to get involved? And I was like, sure, I'm 27. Like, whatever. I'm 20, whatever, however old I was. And I had like an hour long or more conversation with Melanie like a month later. And then a month after that, I moved to New York. And she was like, I always say this to people, she was like, don't sign a lease because this thing's not going to last for 6 months. And actually, yesterday was our 7 year anniversary.
That's so awesome. That is such a cool story that like you connected with this person and they were starting something and they were thinking, oh, we're just going to try it and
Just
see
try
what's
it. Yeah, I mean, totally. It was like completely. Yeah, I think it felt like to everybody like a bit of a long shot. She's like very entrepreneurial. She's like a super, like not supernatural. She is a very natural CEO founder type. And I think that I had already sort of had the feeling like I was a good, like number two. I'm a good, like
like
I.
right-hand person.
Yeah, I like to
Yeah.
have, a bit of a North Star, but then I do like to figure things out and I like to have, a lot of accountability. But I really also just really value and like thrive with like, good leadership and things like that. So that was kind of the beginning of Andie. And in the beginning, I always said, as much as you can say you don't do something in a company of two people, I like never did marketing. I was like the closest I got to marketing was sending suits to like editors, like for press stuff or whatever. But I did like I did our operations. So I talked to all of our customers. I fulfilled orders. I managed our inventory, like which meant like processing returns. And I like truly used Excel for the first time, which never too soon for that. was a bumpy ride. I worked on product, you know, everything. We did events back then, and it was just like, you know, we would do an event and it was like the two of us would just do everything about it. And obviously now it's like we've got departments and things like that. But so yeah, my roles really changed over the years. I mean, technically my title now is like community department, like community manager or something, but it's, I don't know. I think truly I feel like a special projects person. Things come up, you know, like I said, we're a small company, someone moves on, this thing needs to be, you know, we need to, before we can backfill a position, I'm like, okay, I'll like handle that for a while. For instance, that's how I am currently our affiliate marketer. And I don't know really that much about affiliate marketing. And so, you know, it's Andy's grown a ton in 7 years, but I think in a lot of ways, we still really are like a scrappy startup, which is like kind of why I feel at home with it. So that's really nice.
Yeah. So there's something to be said for somebody who can step in and fulfill all of these needs that the business has, you know, without having total experience. So props to you for that.
Thanks. Yeah. It's always, and it's really fun to see like something work and then say, okay, like, let's go find somebody for this now. Mm-hmm. You know, we hired our first, you know, wholesale manager 4 or 5 months ago. Like, you know, a couple of people, we were like hacking our way through it, get this partnership, do this, whatever, da da da. And finally we're like, okay, we think this could actually be like a good thing for the business. So let's like go find someone who knows what they're doing. But yeah. And I guess, I don't know, to touch on like the Andy story and kind of the why, I guess mm-hmm. I should say, Melanie was working at BarkBox. Do you know this company?
Okay. Yeah.
So she was working at BarkBox and was going to, and had been for years. And she was like kind of in startups for like a relatively significant part of her career. And they were like going on some sort of retreat and they were going to be at like a lake or something. They were like talking about, they're like, are we going to like wear bikinis around our bosses? Is this so weird? And they're like, yeah, but like, I mean, don't really want to do that, but like, what else am I going to get? Like a miracle suit or something, or like a Speedo? It was like very strange. And of course, and like I said, Melanie's very like entrepreneurial. I think she was going to be like, I think she decided to be a CEO when she was like 7. So she did like surveys and like just talked to a bunch of friends. And it was like, hey, actually, I think this is like what I'm going to fix. Andy started as just a one piece brand. We had 3 one pieces. They each came in one color. Inventory management was very easy back then. And actually you would put like, if I remember correctly, a $20 deposit down and I will pack you a little box. You would get whatever your size, and the box would have each suit in that size that I would send you. And then you would try them on at home. You would have a week and then you will pack it back up, put the prepaid label and send it back, and whatever you kept, I charged you for. And that was kind of it. It was simple and interesting. We had like tiered pricing. So it was kind of like, I think as Melanie used to say, it was kind of like a Warby Parker kind of experience, because in many ways, I mean, swimwear is not something that a lot of people just like buy. Most people want to try it on. It's like an emotional purchase, or it certainly can be. It's kind of challenging, particularly for one pieces. Like, what if you have like really big chest and need like a lot of support or coverage, but you have like a really tiny tush, or just the opposite, or maybe you're really tall or really short or whatever. There's like all of these things that make swim shopping just like a little difficult. And so we thought, obviously you need to try it on, and we need to like create an experience for people that feels like super accessible, and they'll be able to try it on kind of when they want, when they're feeling good, not like when they're shopping one day in January and it's raining and sleeting outside, but they're going on vacation and they've got to go into a tiny dressing room and take off their coat and their sweater and, you know, their boots and like this whole thing. Just how to kind of And I mean, and that's even before we talk about like the fluorescent lighting and all of those delights. So yeah, the goal was really just to create swimwear that was the equivalent of like a timeless little black bikini, like something simple, clean lines, nice silhouette, not Speedo and not like an overly supportive like compression suit, just something like simple and beautiful. And just also a company that with an experience that isn't like completely terrible to shop for, because like I said, can be an emotional purchase and just not that fun. It's not like a social shopping thing. It's not like you go in with your friends. You're like, all we should do is try on bikinis today. So that was the goal.
Yeah. Well, I want to hear too about this pop-up tour that you're on. So we noted earlier that you are in West Palm right now. You were just in Tampa not too long ago. So tell us a little bit about that. Why are you doing that? What's kind of the goal of doing this pop-up tour? And I guess just any insights into creating this in-person experiential experience for people.
Yeah, definitely. So the first place people are comfortable is at home. And that's why it was really obvious for swim. It seemed like really obvious for swim to be like a great e-commerce category, because you can go, you purchase, as long as you provide a good return policy and clear instructions and all these things. Like, this is something that's like kind of the best experience, because you can get it at home, try it on, feel comfortable, put your sandals on, sit down, do like a jumping jack or two, and like see how it's going and make your decision. For the first like 18 months or so, I talked to every single person who bought a swimsuit from us. And I was really shocked by how many people would, so tons of people would obviously ask us about sizing or style, or does, will this be supportive, or what kind of coverage is this, whatever. Ahead of time, that makes tons of sense. But I've always been really surprised by how many women will be calling me or emailing me and being like, I'm currently wearing the suit, but I can't tell if it fits. I'm surprised by that. And I think part of that is either emotional or just like kind of wanting, I think part of that is just kind of like wanting some amount of companionship in the swimsuit shopping experience. Because I mean, truly, to figure out if something fits, it's really like, does it feel comfortable? And do you feel like you can move in it? And it's like covering everything that you want to be covered and not covering whatever you don't want to be covered. But yeah, it seemed very obvious that from the beginning, there was like a real opportunity to kind of be in the experience with women. And obviously we did our best in those early days to, you know, be there as much as possible, like over the phone, over email, a lot of video chatting. And we would do, like mini pop-ups, you know, a weekend here or a week there with, and like shops around New York. And actually we did one here in Palm Beach, or nearby in Palm Beach, just to try things. And we always got a really positive response with people saying, I mean, even back then, saying like, oh, I've seen you on Instagram, but I've just like, haven't been able to like, I just haven't been brave enough. Like they would say, like, I haven't been brave enough to like hit purchase. And so, I mean, I think even from back in those days, I mean, Melanie and I used to talk about getting like, oh my gosh, now I can't remember what are they called, those like Airstreams, and just like a caravan full of bathing suits and driving across country and stopping and being like, hello, come on in and like try on some bathing suits. Because it's not something that you don't want to try on. And, you know, I think obviously there are plenty of people who have that convert online and are very comfortable with that. But it's also really easy for us to remember whether it's an age thing, we're both millennials, or if it's like a geographic thing. We both live in New York and, you know, have, or our personal experiences, we both shopped a lot of e-commerce companies and things like that. You know, it just kind of occurred to us and then was just like reiterating with our experience that people really do want to, I don't know, get to A, have a little bit of companionship when they're making a purchase like this. And B, they really want to like shopping online can feel really risky to some people. And they want to like touch the product. And is it nice quality? And is this like the right color for me even? And, you know, all of these things. And yeah, so in-person shopping certainly became, I mean, was always like on our radar, because it's almost like, and I mean, as you can see for the, you know, dozens of e-commerce companies that, you know, kind of were founded in like the 2010s and then expanded in the late 2010s and then, you know, got through COVID and all of those things. So many of us are expanding into like beyond e-commerce, and it's kind of just also part of that like maturation process, like just kind of growing beyond being a brand on Instagram. And yeah, so we've tried a few different like ways to do this. We do have one flagship like location in Malibu, which probably makes sense. It's like Florida. It's a place where swim isn't nearly as seasonal. And so like, you know, Malibu supports a business like Andy year round, which is great, but we're just not going to have the same footprint the way like some of our counterparts that do like ready to wear or handbags or shoes or whatever else. But yeah, so this just kind of felt like an interesting way to, it's honestly kind of like a spin on a classic. It's like Tupperware parties, but for swim, or like, you know, yeah, bridal trunk shows, but for swim. So get to meet people, get to, you know, talk to our customers. Yeah. And kind of come to them in a way that's like a little more accessible for them. And honestly, really fun for us.
Yeah, and personable. And it's a huge thing when you can really interact face to face with your consumer, because you get to hear in person their concerns. And then you get to kind of like go back and apply that even to like product development. If somebody's okay, saying, I really want a suit that does XYZ, you can be like, okay, I'm hearing this a lot. Let's go into the product side and make that and solve people's problems. So I think it's super important to have those interactions just offline and just be connecting with your consumer in real life. And so I imagine that these like pop-ups are a great place to do that. Have you seen an impact on sales in a way that maybe they're not buying right when you're chatting with them at this pop-up or at this experience that they come to in person, but then you are top of mind for them when they are down the road wanting to buy a swimsuit? Have you seen an impact there at all?
Well, first I want to just comment on something you said, which was about product development and interacting with our customers. And obviously we're still a small business, but you know, we're not two ladies in an office in New York. We're like 15 ladies in an office in New York. But in the beginning, it was Melanie and I. We had a manufacturer, and we had a kind of a, like a freelance designer that we worked with that would do like our tech packs and stuff, like a technical designer. But in the beginning, when we just had the three suits, and when we were like, okay, we need to like start expanding, we've done some different colors or whatever, but let's like make a new style. Ooh, this is going to be wild. That was 100% based on me talking to customers and saying, listen, the ladies are asking for something with spaghetti straps. And now the Amalfi exists, and it's, you know, like one of our best sellers. And, you know, they're asking for something with coverage and like versatility. And we have the Malibu. Like these things just kind of were, they kind of came from talking to customers. And it's like, there are some of our best selling styles. So it's, and like a lot of our other styles are kind of based on, and so it's, I really do think that having that like customer first approach is, I mean, definitely a reason why Andy is around today. And it makes me really, it's another reason like why I'm really like proud of Andy and like proud of how we grew the company, because I really do think that we always had a big compass pointing towards our customers. I mean, our website's got like pretty good conversion, particularly like as far as like industry standards go. we've got a really great e-commerce team, and we're constantly updating things. Our creative director makes sure that our photos are both like very beautiful and fun and approachable, but also like that you can tell, like, what does the back look like and how are these straps and are they adjustable and is it this, that, what's the coverage like, all those things. But it's nothing compared to people seeing the suits in person and trying them on. You know, I was just talking to Melanie yesterday, and I was just, I feel like my real challenge right now is just kind of getting the word out about these events and like getting people to come. The challenge is not selling the product, and I don't want to be like too like QVC or whatever, but like the product does kind of sell itself. I'm really proud of our product. I think we make really beautiful pieces. I think the quality is like very tangible and noticeable, which again, makes me really happy because we have a really wonderful product team that works really hard to make sure that we have not just like great fabrics, but that when we fit suits, a lot of brands fit a size small. They say, okay, take it up to an extra large, take it down to an extra small, and have fun. We have sizes that range some suits from 2XS to 3XL. We have long torso styles. Our underwire styles have like double D and double D wires, so that way you can have some, like if you're an extra small rib cage, but a double D, you know, you have options. So yeah, the real challenge I think is just kind of getting the word. I mean, it's kind of the same challenge that we have as a small, you know, 7-year company and 7-year-old company in a really kind of fragmented market space, is just getting the word out, because once people get to try the suits on, they do kind of really go for them. So that's kind of like what I'm working on. My hypothesis and a reason that I am working on this, and Melanie, like, you know, we're thinking a lot about, because it's like hard work. This is a lot. This is like a very, like, you know, what I'm doing now is not particularly scalable. I'm not scalable. I'm like, you know, I have other responsibilities, and I'm essentially shirking them for 2 weeks to be in Florida selling bathing suits, like one or two at a time. And that's like not exactly scalable, but something I really like about how Melanie has like led the company is that she's like, figure out something that works, get it to a break even or, you know, mildly profitable place, and then we'll figure out how to scale it later. But the reason we keep going back and talking about like, why are we doing this and what is this for, is because tons of us that do shop online, we shop online, we buy something, we get it, we love it, it's fantastic. And half the time, you know, you only write into customer service to say, hey, my order is late, or, you know, I got the wrong size when I ordered a medium, I got a small, or whatever the problem is. And our customer service is wonderful, and we take care of any little mishaps that happen from time to time, but there's not the same like brand like experience unless you're kind of engulfed in it. And it's just like a lot more meaningful. And I think you feel closer to the brand when you like come into the space and you get to sort of have, you know, an assortment set up just for you. I keep looking over here because I have people coming later, and so I'm like set up for them. And like, that's a much more meaningful experience that is a little like less anonymous the way the shopping online is. And so the hypothesis that we keep kind of coming back to is, you know, not to get like technical or whatever, but what's the LTV of a customer who first shops in either our Malibu store or that comes to one of our events or pop-ups or trunk shows or whatever, compared with the LTV of a customer who shops online or, you know, has only shopped online so far. And obviously it's like very soon to tell. This is my first actual trip, but certainly my anecdotal reporting is that people come, they convert, they bought by multiple items because they can, it's a little easier to picture like, oh, okay, I'm seeing like this one piece and I really like this two-piece, and I normally would never even click on the two-piece tab, but I really love this. And now I'm seeing like a cover-up, and now I'm kind of visualizing putting these in my suitcase and going to, you know, the French Riviera. And so, yeah, that's, I think that's kind of the why behind all of this. And then, you know, if and when it works, we'll figure out next steps later. We'll probably go find someone who really knows what she's doing and get her to scale it.
I love it. That's so awesome. And that's so true. The LTV of somebody who shops with you in person and can kind of like see the product, interact with it versus like being online and not knowing what the fabric feels like and all of that stuff. So I can definitely see that. And then also like if they're in person with you and they only have the budget right now to like buy one suit, then they'll be like, okay, I remember that I really liked this other suit when I tried it on in person and I'll go online and buy it later. And then I think too, I also wanted to touch on like that positive interaction with a brand is so impactful because they will tell their friends about it. And they will say like, I remember meeting Rachel back in the day in West Palm and I had this amazing experience with this brand. And like 10 years down the road, they're probably still going to be loyal to you and they're going to be telling their friends about the brand and then their friends will buy it and become loyal. And so I feel like this is an amazing strategy that you guys are putting into place. It reminds me a lot of back in the day. Like I remember I was Victoria's Secret pink campus rep on my college campus. Yeah, it reminds me a lot of that and like having that one-to-one interaction with your consumer at like the level, like where they are, is so important. So I love that.
I mean, honestly, you're sort of giving away the plot of like some in some ways how I like envision this. You know, I had to give a presentation. We do like these monthly meetings and we'll do like a department spotlight. And I did mine in March. And of course I was freaking out about it almost as much as I was freaking out for this ahead of, you know, at 9:57, I was like, oh my God, what am I doing? But, you know, in the last, like my last slide, I was like, you know, what is this? You know, this is my, I basically presented, this is my plan. This is kind of why I'm doing this. I'm going to Florida in a few weeks, you know, whatever. And explained, you know, my budget and whatever. And then the last slide, I was just like, no idea how things are going to go. So many things can change, as I think we've seen the last certainly 4 years. Like the world really, truly can change drastically and almost instantaneously and has. But kind of like a vision I have, because something else I'm working on is an actual ambassador-y type of program. We already have a handful of content creators that we've worked with for years that we have wonderful relationships with and who really feel like an extension of the team as is. And now another thing I've kind of been tasked with is how can we kind of create some amount of structure based on this really organic symbiosis we've kind of come up with. And I don't know, I followed that thread one night and I was just like, okay, hear me out, the Mary Kay lady, except for like, she's coming with bathing suits. And, you know, these people are like, hey, listen, every quarter or every other quarter, even because, you know, people aren't buying, I mean, well, don't get me wrong. Some people, probably people like yourselves, Floridians, are buying however many bathing suits, you know, a year, half a dozen or something. I don't know. But she's hosting like a little like pool party in her like backyard with her girlfriends. And she's got like a binder of like photos and, you know, maybe like a rack of samples, and everybody, you know, that goes through her gets 10% off the sticker price. And she gets a little kickback to pay for her family's vacation. And maybe she sells enough Andes someday to have like the pink Cadillac, or I don't know, Andes, like we're trying to go green. So maybe let's say like a tandem bicycle could be cute. I mean, and I think there's like an amount of silliness and like whatever. And it's obviously a super old fashioned kind of concept. But on the other hand, I do sort of think that that's, I mean, do I think that that's going to be like a bigger part in the world of like, if our pie chart is made of e-commerce, wholesale partnerships, and these sort of, I guess, in-person shopping, outside of, you know, our, I guess, our retail presence. Do I think that that's going to supersede the other categories? Probably not. I mean, Nordstrom can put in a PO for just a lot more than like a soccer mom that's like buying, or that's like having an Andy party for her like walking group or something. But I don't know. I guess the impact is important enough. It certainly feels like it's has the potential to be important enough and is a significant part of the Andy story. And I guess I just kind of feel like it's got to start somewhere. Might as well start with me because I kind of like figuring these things out. And I think it's a little bit fanciful, but it's also, I think it's just kind of a matter of time. And it's not just going to be, you know, maybe like not every brand is going to be like this, like a brand that sells like the perfect t-shirt. And, you know, and I frankly, I don't know that much about like the consumer habits of men and like how they want to shop for things. But I do think that women generally like to feel supported. They like to feel, I think there's like a social aspect of shopping that's really enjoyable. And like I said earlier, swimwear is not like something that's makes a ton of sense to shop with just a friend randomly. So this kind of feels like a way to satisfy, you know, satisfy some of these, I don't know, like more instinctual things, and also just like grow the business in a way that also like feels good to us. I mean, definitely, listen, if I would love to get some Andy Campus reps, that's one of the things I've been doing. I'm for a future trip. I reached out to like my old college and then, you know, some other local universities and say like, I'm going to like come and I don't know, like already schwitzing thinking about this, but like go give like a small talk at my school has like a great business school, which I took basically zero advantage of, but like go and kind of like be on a panel with some other people who do things in business. And then like talk to, you know, students there and say like, hey, you know, if you ever want to share Andy with your classmates and friends and family or whoever the heck, go be entrepreneurial. I don't really care how you do it. You know, here's a link and, you know, this is like kind of your thing and we'll figure out a way to work together. And I think that that's, I don't know, certainly doesn't seem like it can hurt to like kind of empower and like engage with our customers.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and I want to go back to the beginning of the episode as I asked this next question, but you really talked about how this opportunity just kind of came about and you said yes and figured it out and you're learning all these different functions and areas of the business. And I feel like that alone is just a awesome career takeaway that anyone should be open to new opportunities and just say yes and figure it out later, especially as you're newer in your career, right? And just totally learning what fires you up and what gets you excited. But I'm curious, Rachel, is there anything else that you know now in your career that you wish you knew earlier on?
Well, it's like kind of the small but also enormous thing of like, would it have killed somebody to like teach me how to use Excel? I've like learned along the way and Googled a lot and things like that. But that's just something that like always comes up. Something I wish I knew earlier on. I mean, shockingly, as a person who have a degree in theology and I'm Jewish and went to a Catholic college, I really don't even know what was I thinking. I have a degree in theology and music. I have stage fright. Like, what was my plan? I have no idea. So, I mean, maybe a lesson is it's okay to not have a plan. But if you don't have a plan, probably it's really good to just say yes a lot and try a lot of things. I think I'm pretty good at like saying yes and trying things. And the figure it out attitude is like really important. It's certainly been very important to my career. And I really like when I see that in other people. I really like when I see curiosity. The people I've gotten to work with, and I do currently work with, mostly women, but a couple of really awesome men too, that when I think of like the people I like to work with the most, Andy's big enough now that like other than like me, everyone is kind of like a real expert in what they do. I haven't seen that translate into like a lack of curiosity, a lack of humility, arrogance in a way. I do think that Melanie's really good at finding and hiring people that both like have a skill that she had like understands that Andy really needs right now. Like, yeah, it would have been awesome to have a wholesale manager 5 years ago or whatever. But like, that wasn't the most important thing at the time. What we really needed was like someone who was really good at adding features to a website that would make us super shoppable. And so I think like mapping that out was really important. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I would say it's okay to not have a ton of direction as long as you're going to be open to going in any direction then. And I'm turning 35 in a couple of weeks. And sometimes I think like, oh man, I should have figured this out or that out, or I should be a something in my field or an expert, or I should be a VP of something or whatever. And I think I just, when I have those like moments of stress and I think I should have done this or that or whatever, I kind of think back and I say, I actually have like such a gift, which is that in a lot of ways I can go in any direction. I can follow any like interest something takes me. I don't have as much pressure. I mean, being like a director of marketing, we just hired a new one a few months ago and she's amazing. And I'm like so glad the day that Melanie said that she accepted the offer, I was like, yes. But like, she has like a really different job. It has like a lot of pressure and she's like has to figure things out in really specific constraints. And she's really creative and smart and she does figure things out. And she, like I said, she's fantastic. But I just like want to keep, and I think I did sort of have this instinct before, but maybe if I could go back and say, to go all the way and make this answer even longer, if I could go back and say, like, I think I was really good at saying, I've got no direction, so whatever someone offers me or whatever I can try or whatever I like weasel myself into, just like go with it and like have fun and try to learn. But I think that I wish that maybe I had just like a little bit more confidence and like enjoyed the fact that I had such like a freedom, because that's when I feel like most creative and like I'm doing something that's like the most like interesting and meaningful. It's like a little empowering to feel kind of verbal version of whatever that is. I don't know, like
for those of you listening, she just like threw her hands to the air. She's like, this freedom that I have.
That's like sign language for all done, I think.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah, okay. Exactly. Well, I guess not that. I guess I just mean like it's like spear fingers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there, even people listening, who can really resonate with the like, I thought I would be here by this time in my life, or, you know, I thought I would be doing X, Y, Z, but there is always a reason why you're where you are. And there's always like a reason to like remain curious and like remain, you know, like nimble and just go with the flow with where you are and like what you're doing. Because looking back on my own personal career, I can see where like hardship times or like times where I was like, oh, why am I like in this role right now? I can see like where that experience has led me today. And I know Cassie feels the same way. And a lot of our friends feel that same exact way. So I think there's a really big lesson there in that, like, you should just honor where you are and like be excited about the future, but also just like do your best today. And that's totally okay if you're not like where you thought you might want to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think there's a lot of people out there who are going to be like, yes, that is exactly what I'm feeling like right now. So
I know. I feel like we get so stuck in saying like, oh, but if I were here or if I were there instead. And instead, I think we have to adjust the focus of, no, what can I take away? What can I learn? What kind of questions can I ask? Who can I meet with in other departments to maybe learn about a different function of business? And it's like, I feel like no matter how rough it is, if you can try to do as much of that in your current situation, it is going to help you moving forward. So yeah
in any career. I love that. Well, Rachel, this has been so fun. And we want to let everybody know where they can find you, where they can follow along with Andy Swim, and then any like pop-ups that are coming up that people might like, maybe you'll be in their area and they can come hang out with you.
That'd be great. Well, first I'll say again, I work for Andy. You can find us online at andyswim.com. It's ANDIE swim.com. Our Instagram is at Andy Swim. We have a TikTok. That's not my department, shockingly. But I think like pretty much anywhere you can find us at Andy Swim. And I mean, if anyone wants to see just occasionally some pictures of my dog and pictures of thinkies I'm doing with Andy, my personal Instagram is Rachel10Thaw. And I do talk about, I've been like posting a little bit about my travels and I'm trying to practice like getting content. Our social media manager has had several sit downs with me, so we're getting there. And as far as like some upcoming trips that I'm doing, well, actually I'm going to do a series in New York at some, we're partnering with a big apartment management company, and I'm going to be going to some buildings around Manhattan to kind of bring swimwear to people. It'll be like a little bit different than what this trip has been. I also host like trunk shows and try-ons in my own apartment, and that's kind of like everlasting. So I can happy to share some links of how to do that. And then I am currently planning a trip to Chicago I'm thinking like a southeastern swing. So like Charlotte, Raleigh, and Charleston. So those are kind of what are coming up for me.
Amazing. And I'm sure we'll be able to like find that information of where you're going to be once those trips are planned later this summer on like socials and stuff, right?
Totally. And okay. Honestly, the best thing to do to sign up for our email and or texts, obviously, is always good to know what the brand is doing. We have also, I mean, neither here nor there, but we have truly a really great bunch of launches coming up over the next like 6 to 8 weeks. Like we're in the heart of swim season, yeah. And we're just have been making some really beautiful and interesting, you know, collections that I'm really proud of. But if you go and like either create an account or sign up with your email and put like your zip code, so that way we can like kind of be able to say, hey, you and 15143, the zip code I grew up in, for instance, we're coming there. So little Pittsburgh shout out, especially on April 12th, 412, my like Pittsburgh area code. Anyway, that's a great way to kind of know what we're doing, what's going on in the relevant geographic location, or just write to me, rachel@andyswim.com. And maybe I'll live to regret that, but whatever.
Yeah, I love it. Everybody flood her inbox. Be like, hey, Rachel, how are you? Don't get any work done today. Just talk to me. Well, this has been so awesome. Thank you again for joining us. And we'll have everything linked out in the show notes that you just like talked through. So people will be able to like click on everything, because I know awesome. It was a lot. But yeah, thank you so much for joining us. And we'll chat soon.
Be well.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Marketing Happy Hour podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. If you want more of Marketing Happy Hour but don't know where to start, we invite you to download our free Marketing Happy Hour starter kit at marketinghappyhr.com/starter-kit. This interactive magazine-style PDF walks through who we are, includes helpful resources like a marketing term glossary and the printable daily planner sheet that we actually use ourselves, and contains clickable links to our episode recommendations by subject area. Not to mention all the fun extras like a quiz, the link to our Marketing Happy Hour Insiders Facebook group, a word search, a playlist, a goal setting guide, content inspo by month, and more. It's our hope that you'll dive into this resource and walk away more confident in your career journey with a group of industry pals that you can lean on for advice and support. Snag your free starter kit today at marketinghappyhr.com/starter-kit for all of the info you need to become a Marketing Happy Hour Insider.